1-800-332-3232.
Going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment, where your questions and comments matter. At 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Getting guns off the street is a part of policing across the nation. It's an attempt to keep illegal or unwanted firearms out of the wrong hands. Does it work to keep communities safer? And how do you know that? Well, this Saturday, a gift cards for guns event will be held at the First Baptist Church of Glenarden from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. And joining me to talk about this are Prince George's County Deputy Police Chief George Nichols and Pastor James Marshall of Zion Church in Landover. What is the thought process behind gun buybacks? What do you think about them? Phone lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Chief Nichols and Pastor Marshall, thanks for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thanks. It's an honor.
Chief Nichols, before I get started, I did want to ask you about the news of the day. The suspension of a Prince George's County police officer now under investigation for allegedly engaging in sexual acts in his marked cruiser. What can you tell me about this? And what do you make of this as an officer?
Well, I can tell you that based on what happened, it's definitely an egregious act, and it is being investigated at this time. So what I will say to the public is that this is something that we don't take lightly. It's definitely an embarrassment to the agency, and the chief just won't tolerate it. It's under investigation now, and it's currently being investigated. And as things progress, the chief will, of course, relay that information as it comes in.
Thank you. I appreciate you addressing that. Let us get to this topic. As I mentioned in the beginning, the gun buyback events are not new, and they are not just unique to Prince George's County. We've seen these programs. I remember them going back as far as the early 90s, all over the country. Talk to me about, Chief, what is the purpose of this? And do you really believe they work?
Yes, I do believe they work. And the purpose, of course, is, as you said, it's a segue into community policing, in which we work with the community to ensure the community's safety by buying these guns back and getting these illegal and unwanted guns off the street. It's an amnesty program, basically. And if the guns are illegal or unwanted, this is your opportunity to come in, bring the guns in, and receive a gift card. You remain anonymous, and you, in fact, are taking guns off the street and helping us to prevent these future crimes and acts of violence and where firearms are used to commit them.
What happens with these guns once they are collected?
So the guns are collected, and the individual who brings the guns in will be taken to a different location, but at the same location, but in a different room. They'll be given a gift card based on what type of weapon you turn in. There's a difference in value of the cards for what you turn in. The guns will then be taken, and they will be checked for stolen and things of that nature. But you are anonymous. So if the gun is reported stolen, our purpose then is what we will do is find out who the rightful owners of that gun is and try to reconnect that legal owner with that gun. We check the guns. If they're not stolen, they're just an unwanted gun or a gun that shouldn't be out here in circulation, those guns will then be destroyed.
Mm-hmm. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about a gun buyback program that the Prince George's County Police are participating in this weekend. We'll give you some more details about that. It's at First Baptist Church of Glenarden from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. But if you have a comment or a question, definitely give us a call. Pastor Marshall, what is the role of the faith community in these kinds of programs, because you're with Zion Church.
Right.
This is being held at First Baptist Church of Glenarden. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, so Zion Church and First Baptist Church of Glenarden has partnered for several years now with the Prince George's County Police Department. You know, typically the church is involved when it comes to gun violence in the aftermath. We host the funerals, we do the eulogy, we pray with the families. But over the years now, we see our part as not just being a part of the aftermath, but being a part of the solution. And so we've been partnered with the county by, you know, presenting capital so that the gift cards can be purchased. So that's our involvement. We host it in our facilities, and we want to help stop the gun violence before it starts. We believe that's the best way to do a funeral. It's the funeral that you can prevent. And so we contribute a large amount of capital from both churches to make sure that this is happening, because we want to be involved in the community. We just don't want to pray for the community from afar, but we want to get in the trenches, and this is our way of doing that.
What kind of conversations have you had with members of your congregation about community gun violence? What are they telling you?
You know, it's interesting. I have a lot of moms and grandmothers in our community that find out that their children have guns, but the guns came from a father who may have been in the house that is now incarcerated. The mother didn't know it was there, or someone that was passed away and they just had the gun in the house. And so they take the guns out of the house, and then that's when the crimes are involved. And so there are a lot of these moms and other individuals who just don't know what to do with them. And this opportunity is an opportunity for them to be able to do something with it that's going to be safe. And many parents, you know, wait for it for years. They can't wait. They wait all year long for this event to take place. And so they look forward to it. And that's their way of seeing how gun violence can stop. If we can just get these unwanted firearms off the streets.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about a gun buyback program scheduled for this Saturday at the First Baptist Church of Glenarden from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. If you have a firearm of any type, pistol, long rifle, shotgun, any type that you no longer want to hold on to, or you believe that it may not be in a safe place in your home or in your community, and you want to turn it in, come on out at starting at 10 a.m. and the police and the clergy from First Baptist as well as Zion Church will be there to greet you. Let's talk to Marty. Marty calling from D.C. Marty, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Good evening. Greetings. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I must first acknowledge that I know of the great work that Glenarden does as First Baptist of Glenarden, although I'm not a member.
Okay.
I wanted to ask the chief, actually I want to ask you all, do you think that the result of so many illegal firearms in our communities, now I'm calling from Washington, is because of the very strict gun laws in our town? And also my comment would be, is if we trained our legal citizens, who are mostly hardworking adults, to own firearms, would that lessen the amount of illegal firearms?
Interesting question. Chief, you want to try to address that?
Marty, thank you for calling in. I appreciate your question and your comment. One of the things I'd like to say in regarding people who purchase and possess legal firearms, in the state of Maryland, you are required to take a gun safety course prior to purchasing your weapon and actually taking possession of it. So that part is actually something that we do here in the state of Maryland. Now, regarding the illegal guns that are used to commit these violent crimes, and this is where this gun buyback is so productive and crucial for us. It allows us to take these guns off the street that could potentially fall into the hands of those who wish to do ill will against our community and citizens, and it gives them an opportunity to turn these guns in and, in fact, receive some type of reward or gift card, so to speak, so they can, you know, turn the guns in as synonymous, and they won't have to worry about the guns being out there. And then that also lets us know that we prevent future crimes from happening, because that gun is no longer in circulation.
Marty, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Now, what happens if I have a gun that I want to turn in and you discover that the gun has been used in the commission of a crime, whether it's armed robbery, even a murder? What happens to me if is there amnesty there? How is that thing handled if you don't know whether or not I am the perpetrator of that crime?
And that too is a great question, Harold. So what happens is, of course, again, like we said, this is anonymous. So your name won't be taken at that time or nothing or anything. However, we will get that gun and we're going to check it to ensure, like I said, it's status stolen, whatever the case may be. If we do find out that that gun was in fact used in the commission of a crime in the past, that gun then becomes part of the investigative process that will still be ongoing. Now, once that gun becomes part of that, it's of course now evidence of that case. Now, if it then circles back and the person that turns it in, it finds out that you in fact happen to be the suspect, you can then be charged because of the crime that you committed with that gun in the past. But I'm here to tell you on that day, this is complete amnesty and completely anonymous. There will be no arrest made for turning in a gun on Saturday.
How would you characterize gun violence in the county right now? Certainly we've seen in the district some unfortunate numbers. Baltimore is suffering greatly. They have this violence-free weekend that they push every weekend, sometimes successful, sometimes not so much. But for Prince George's, talk to me about the concerns of gun violence in the county.
Well, I can tell you also in my bureau, I have the Criminal Intelligence Division, which has a gun intelligence unit. And what we've done in that unit is we've partnered with the ATF. And we haven't just decided on taking the guns that we sell on the street. We've actually traced these guns back to their origin. What that has allowed us to do, and this is something that was implemented when Chief Stawinski came in the office almost 3 years ago. What we do now is these guns are now traced, they're tracked, we find out their origin, and these guns are now taken off the streets. So it's a very good process in which this gun intel unit does, because now they work with the ATF on that, which, you know, of course, has federal jurisdiction. So we're also working along with D.C. and other states.
Mm-hmm. But that's what's happening in, you know, certainly as you all seek to curtail the gun violence. But what do you think is at the root cause of the kinds of gun violence that we have seen in the district? What do you think are perhaps the top three issues?
Well, in a district, and I mean, I know I'm in
and Maryland. Not in the district. I mean, in Prince George's.
And we border DC, and we work very well with them. I mean, we have a great relationship with all of our crime prevention partners. But one of the things we see on Prince George's County, and I could tell you, gun violence to date with us is down over 15%. Our, you know, murder rate, we're down 21 murders from this time last year. So we made a very good impact, and that's based on a lot of things that we put in place with the gun intelligence unit and things like that. What I would say that would lead to gun violence is, unfortunately, people who have these guns illegally and they commit maybe an act of robbery or they're going to commit some other act, and unfortunately it ends up in a shooting. Mm-hmm. So we've seen that a couple of times, but we've seen a tremendous decrease in them, and we continue to see decreases as the years continue.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about a gun buyback program that's going to be held at the First Baptist Church of Glenarden on Saturday, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. That's at 600 Watkins Park Drive in Upper Marlboro. If you have any weapon that you are seeking to get rid of, again, it could be a handgun, it could be a long rifle, new or old, certainly bring it in and you'll get a gift card for it depending on the kind of weapon that you are bringing in. And also there is an amnesty portion of this gun buyback. So something you definitely want to be a part of if you are bringing back a weapon that you're just not sure about. So please, we're still talking about this on the other side of this break. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. Wilma calling from Beltsville. You're up next after the break. Stay with us.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Do gun buyback programs work? Well, this Saturday, a gift cards for guns event will be held at the First Baptist Church of Glenarden from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. That is 600 Watkins Park Drive in Upper Marlboro. If you have a gun that you want to get rid of, pistol, long gun, shotgun, any kind of gun, bring it. And you can exchange it for a gift card, no questions asked. We are talking about the issues surrounding this gun buyback program. My guests are Prince George's County Deputy Police Chief George Nichols and Pastor James Marshall of Zion Church in Landover. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Wilma, calling from Beltsville. Thanks for calling, Wilma. What's on your mind?
I'd like to say that I'd like to see where, when guns are ordered, that they have to be delivered. That's where the party has to go and pick up the order. And when they go to the police station, that person is run through the system. That way you'll know what, if they have a record or what criminal acts they perform in the past or whatever before they're issued the firearm.
That's an interesting statement. I'm not a gun owner. How is that when somebody buys a gun? How do they get it? What's the process?
Well, Wilma, thank you for calling in, and I appreciate your comment and suggestion as well. When a person goes to purchase a gun in the state of Maryland, you go to the gun shop, you go to purchase a handgun, you know you have to wait the 14 days, the background checks are done and completed. Once everything is done and you're found to be able to actually possess a gun, the handgun is then purchased there at the store because the people at the store possess the federal firearms licenses and they are able to distribute these guns. Now, that's the requirement for you to possess and sell and transfer guns in the state of Maryland. You have to possess what we call the FFL, which is a federal firearms license. Now, police officers, we don't have FFLs. Now, some of us do because it's an individual thing that you can possess. But to have it delivered to a police station and then have us, you know, distribute it, we don't have FFL, so that's something that we cannot do.
Okay. Wilma, thank you. So, Wilma, do you own a gun?
I have not the real gun.
Not a real gun?
No, it's a pellet gun. When I was It's a pellet gun. I haven't used it in years.
Maybe that's a good thing. Thank you so much. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Wilma just said something that made me think of this. If you find a gun, whether it, as you know, the pastor suggested, perhaps it's something that someone in the house may have previously owned, or perhaps if you move into, an older home, what should you do if you find a gun in your home?
Harold, we've had that situation and scenario happen several times. What you should do in a situation like that is call 911 and tell them that you've located a weapon in your residence. Either A, it's one that you have no idea where it came from. You just moved in. The police will come out. We will retrieve the weapon, and we will take care of it and turn it, do the checks and turn it in. If there's no owner that can be located, a legal owner, the weapon will be destroyed. So I recommend, please do not grab the weapon yourself and transport it to the police station. Call 911. Let us come to your residence. We will come and we will recover the weapon.
Mm. Pastor Marshall, talk to me a little bit more about why you believe that gun buybacks are successful in reducing crime in the community. I would venture to say that, you know, some people would say the jury is still out on that.
Sure, sure. Well, I mean, I think you have especially juveniles who are in a position where they can't get a firearm legally. So if they have an older sibling or a parent in the household that they are aware of has a firearm, they go, they find it, and they use it for whatever the reason. Like, as the chief mentioned earlier, it could be something like they were using it in a robbery. They didn't want it to go bad, but it then escalates. And now, you know, they've used it. And so if you can limit the access, then you can limit the violent acts that come after people have access to these weapons. And so for us, you know, it's worth it. You know, both churches put in a total of $40,000 towards this event. And we do it once and sometimes twice a year. And the reason why is because, you know, we want to be seen as churches that are involved in the community, you know. And if we can limit access, and the children are our children, you know, there are teenagers, there are juveniles, you know, and we want to protect them. So this is a way of doing that. And I believe it works. It works. If you can limit access, then you can limit the crimes that come after people had access to the firearms.
From the clergy's perspective, do you believe that this issue is more of a juvenile issue as opposed to an issue with adults?
Yeah, I think it's an issue probably with all people. People have challenges handling conflict. We don't know how to handle conflict well. Whether the conflict was a conflict that you were aware of or it became a conflict because you were doing something you shouldn't have been doing, we don't know how to de-escalate situations. And so I think a lot of people just resolve to doing what, and maybe in their mind, makes most sense, eliminate the conflict by eliminating the person. And I think as we continue to get better training around how to handle conflict, how to handle disagreements, how to de-escalate situations without getting violent, then it's going to be helpful holistically.
What do you think about that? Because I think he makes a really interesting point, because I think this is one of the broader issues about some of the tragedies that we often see in the community, where a dispute over a parking space ends up in a really, you know, tragic situation. And this isn't about so much, you know, police and the community. It's like the pastor said, when individuals are struggling with dealing with conflict, wherever this, you know, happens to be, it's, you know, even in those states where, you know, you have concealed carry laws, you know, the argument is you may be more puffed up if you know that you have a weapon, as opposed to if you left your weapon at home and there's an argument over a parking space.
You know, that's a very good point the pastor brought up. And when you look at conflict, I was always taught, you know, you can't eliminate conflict. You have to manage conflict. Mm. You have to resolve conflict.
Right.
And those are the skills that, going back to the juveniles, those are the skills that need to be taught, is conflict management and conflict resolution. Not so much elimination. We have to realize that we're always going to have disagreements, but we have to learn to deal with them accordingly, effectively, and in a righteous way. So I think that's where it all starts, is getting the buy-in on conflict management. And there are a lot of programs that the churches do, the schools do, and things like that. And we have to just be more engaged in that with the communities for conflict management. And I think that would definitely play a bigger piece of maintaining our community safety.
How do you know that the gun buybacks help reduce some of the violence on the street?
Well, I can tell you over the last 5 years, in which we've recovered based on the the numbers that I have on our gun back initiative. Going back 5 years, we've recovered approximately 600 guns that sorted rifles, handguns, revolvers, things of that nature. So I would tell you also that we're down 15% in the shootings for this year from last year. So I could tell you right now that because of those gun buybacks, I would believe that if we didn't do it, our numbers may be significantly higher.
Mm-hmm. Do you believe that, you know, the people that are going to show up on Sunday or the law, excuse me, on Saturday, well, Sunday too, right?
Come both days.
Yeah, right. on Saturday, is it safe to say that the lion's share of them are law-abiding citizens, and that the malevolent characters in the community aren't necessarily the ones that are going to be showing up to help reduce violence in the community? And so what do you say to the good guys and the good gals that show up on Saturday about this issue?
Well, what we say is, you know, we thank them and appreciate them for coming in, because not only is this just an amnesty program for them and the giving them an opportunity to give these guns back, it's also an opportunity to bond with the community, to make the community safer. So we thank them and we appreciate them coming through. And it's everybody, and that's the message that we give out. This is a community, an opportunity for the community and the police to engage and partner to make our community safer for our children and future generations. So that's the message that we're putting out here, and that's to everybody. And the thing that we definitely want to emphasize is that this is an anonymous program. It's an anonymous event. It's an anonymous initiative. This is an opportunity for those of you who have these guns and may have done something bad, or you know that the gun may have been involved in something bad, just bring the gun down, turn it in, get your gift card for the holidays, and
keep it moving. What has surprised you? You said you've been doing this now, what, for 5 years?
Yes.
About 5 years?
From 2012, yes.
Right. So what is it that has surprised you when you kind of look back at the various and sundry events? And the same question for you, Pastor, but I'll ask Chief Nichols first. When you look back, is there any particular something that happened during or as a result of these gun buybacks that makes you say this is a worthwhile event? Is there a person, a case that comes to mind?
Yes, there was an individual last year who bought in a whole shopping cart full of guns.
Shopping cart?
Yeah, he had a shopping cart. I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think his count was 12, assorted between rifles and handguns. And if I can, I'd like to actually break down the prices of this to make this a little bit more appetizing for people. If you bring in a shotgun or a rifle, you'll receive a $75 gift card. Handguns will be a $125 gift card. And any automatic or semi-automatic guns, you'll receive a gift card with a value of $175. So this gentleman bought, and there's no cap on this either. Mm-hmm. You bring one gun or bring 100 guns, and if it fits that total, you'll get it. And he bought in about 12 guns in a shopping cart and turned this in. And he was a older gentleman and just had been collecting guns and was like, you know what? I'm tired of them. I don't want them around anymore. He turned them in. He got his gift cards. Everything was fine.
I was going to ask, where do you get a shopping cart? I thought, you know, usually somebody's shopping cart, they've got a trash can full of aluminum cans. But and how do you determine which weapon gets the higher or the lower price?
Well, that's determined based on the not so much the popularity of the weapon, but the amount of damage that the weapon does. Shotguns, rifles, which a shotgun sold in a Walmart, which if you have age and you show a driver's license, you get it, it's $75. A handgun, revolver, it's $125. A little bit more of a difficult weapon to accrue. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, automatic weapons and semi-automatic weapons, which are even more difficult, they get a higher value because those we really want off the streets because, as we know, those are the ones, unfortunately, involved in gun violence when it does happen.
Yeah, I was about to say, because usually we don't see shotguns, and rifles, you know, in the commission of, you know, violent crime. A lot of those are still used for hunting or even self-defense. But, yeah, like you said, you know, when you're talking about semi-automatic handguns or even converted ones. And what about now? Does it matter the condition?
No, it doesn't matter the condition.
Okay. Need to take a break. When we come back, more of this discussion about the gun buyback program coming up this weekend at First Baptist Church of Glen Arden from 10 a.m. to 1 o'clock. Stay with us. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our discussion about a gun buyback program coming up this weekend, November 17th, at the First Baptist Church of Glen Arden from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. That's 600 Watkins Park Drive. We're talking about how effective they are. And again, we continue with my guests, Prince George's County Deputy Police Chief George Nichols and Pastor James Marshall of Zion Church in Landover. Pastor, from your perspective, what do you want people to know about gun violence and how the church is attempting to turn those things around?
Yeah, you know, we get a lot of questions sometimes in the church because people want to know, how are y'all doing that? Why are y'all involved with this?
You really?
Know, the church, oh yeah, I mean, some people in their minds, the church is supposed to preach, you're supposed to pray. Mm-hmm. You know, you may fight for some type of legislative deal, but why are you involved with the exchange of firearms? And I think the thing that we all need to understand is the reason why it's called gun violence is because a gun is involved. And if we can find a way to get the gun out of it, then it may be violence nonetheless. But, you know, it's not as lethal, hopefully, when a gun is not involved. And so that's our idea. Let's find a way to limit the amount of guns that are involved in these violent acts. And again, it's from people who are getting these guns illegally, whether they're stealing it from someone or they acquire it somehow or something like that. So, but if we can limit the amount of unneeded, unwanted firearms, then, you know, we can, as the chief mentioned, take down that number.
Mm-hmm. Well, chief, what is it when it comes to gun violence in the community that most concerns you? And you know, you've got those two stars, so you've been a police officer for a while. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you've seen a change in how gun violence manifests itself in the community. How do you believe that it has changed over the years since you first started on the police force?
I think that what happened is I believe that, and we're talking in excess of 20 years, mm-hmm. Guns now have become way more accessible. Like the pastor said, there are circumstances where people who have purchased legal weapons don't secure them, or they've put them in a place where someone who shouldn't have access to them has somehow gotten access to them and went out here and committed an act of violence. There's also times where people are just able to have friends within certain circles that just have access to these guns. They've just become more accessible over the years. And this gun buyback program, and again, like I said, some of the partnering that we've done with the ATF, we're working, you know, diligently to remove the ease of access to these weapons and people who shouldn't have access to them. But that would be my, I guess, assessment over the 20 years, is that it's just been accessible.
Why are they so much more easily accessible? We had a guy call in. He was talking about, you know, stricter gun laws, all kinds of conversations about gun safety and the like. Are we talking about two different societies, you know, those that are safe and those that are frivolous and careless with gun safety? Is that what we're kind of dealing with?
I wouldn't say it's just the frivolous. I think that even with the criminal acts to get guns and make them accessible is something I have to look at. There was once a time where we would see an increase up through the Eastern Seaboard of gun shops that were broken into. Mm. Breaking and entering the gun shops, guns are then obtained illegally and they're sold out on the street. And we did see quite a bit of that. And that was, like I said, something that when Chief Stawinski implemented this about 3 years ago, that was something we looked at. You had gun stores all the way up through Delaware that were broken into, and we would make arrests here on somebody who had a gun in their possession, and that gun would actually come back to that breaking and entering. So that person, when you do the interview or, you know, gather your information from them, they would then tell you, well, I bought it off of so-and-so, but I don't really know them. So those are the type of acts in which we've been able to see, we've been seeing guns illegally distributed throughout the community.
What do you tell parents? How do you tell parents to talk to their children about gun when we've seen just this pervasive influx of gun violence in entertainment, whether it's video games or movies and the like, and where R-rated movies, when we were growing up, you couldn't go in without somebody. Now you can just go right in. It doesn't matter. And so how do you tell parents to talk to their children about guns when they see them in entertainment, and they probably don't really understand that one is entertainment and this is the real deal?
That's a very, very good question, Harold. I would just have to say that parents, you have to be, and I have children, and you just have to be realistic with them and let them know that, you know, this is what dad does. Dad carries a gun, but the gun is used to protect his life and the life of others and the damage that these guns can do. And you have to also, I guess, with a child, as you say, these are the things that's real, or this is a TV show, and yeah, you saw that person get shot, and this person is going to be up and walking around the next 30 minutes because this is a role that they're playing.
Mm-hmm.
Or you know, in the video games, which is very, very, this day and age.
They're very realistic.
Right, very realistic. Yeah. I mean, it's unfortunate. Like, I know one of the big ones used to be the Grand Theft Autos. And it's,
yeah.
And it's just, you have to tell them. It's like, that's just unrealistic, you know. And actually, of course, telling them if they're playing these games in your home, be realistic with them and tell them, hey, that's actually criminal activity that you're engaging in as you're playing this video game, if it were in real time. So you have to just be realistic with them. You have to be honest with them. And, you know, you have to share this information with them. You have these conversations, you know, have that communication with them.
Yeah. I was about to say, you got to have a come to Jesus moment with that. That's your role. I got a few minutes left. And Pastor, I'll let you have, you know, the last words. Just as, you know, as you move toward yet another year of gun buybacks, you know, what is it that you want people to know about Saturday? And I'm not talking about, you know, y'all come and get rid. I mean,
sure.
What do you want them to be thinking about as they bring their guns in?
This is an opportunity for you as a citizen to save a life. You can potentially save a life. Now, you may know what you will do as long as the gun is in your control, but what happens if that gun ever falls out of your control? And we have a great police department in Prince George's County. They do an excellent job of serving our community and keeping us safe. We don't have to walk in fear and have something that most of us aren't qualified to use anyway. You know, the little classes sometimes that you take is not as extensive as the gentlemen who are in law enforcement. And so I want the community to know this is our way of saving lives. So tell people, say, hey, you know, I don't know if you have anything in your household, but they have a great event on Saturday. It's a great opportunity for you to get some extra money around the holidays. And who couldn't use some extra money around the holidays? Spread the word. Come out. You know, we're not going to ask you. We're not going to judge you or anything like that. It's just an opportunity for us to come together as a community to save a life.
Bring your shopping carts worth of I want to thank both of you, Pastor James Marshall of Zion Church in Landover and Prince George's County Deputy Police Chief George Nichols for coming in. I really appreciate you coming in, and good luck. This event, again, at the First Baptist Church of Glen Arden from 10 a.m. to 1 in the afternoon at 600 Watkins Park Drive. Show up and help save the community. Again, thank you both for coming in.
Thank you, Harold. Appreciate it.
That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Thursday, November 15th. I'm Harold Fisher. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now, stay tuned for The Connection. Good night.